Morning Ireland, it's 11 minutes past eight. One of the issues raised with health bosses at the Public Accounts Committee hearing yesterday was the long waiting times for over 75s in emergency departments. Last month, the average wait for over 75s was 14 hours. But in some hospitals, it's considerably longer. We'll talk about this in a moment with HSE boss Paul Reid. But first, we can hear from Caroline O'Connell, whose 82-year-old mother, Angela, waited 24 hours for a bed at Wexford General Hospital last Friday. And Caroline O'Connell told reporter Moira Hannan about what happened.
My mother, Angela, she's 82 years old and she was brought in by ambulance at about 3:30 on Friday afternoon to Wexford General Hospital. She was on a trolley in the corridor in ED for hours being told that things would happen, but then nothing happening. She rang me about midnight to say that she wanted to come home, basically. And I had to go up and they actually let me in to the ED to talk to her, to persuade her to stay because she needed to be seen. And work was done through the night. They took her for an X-ray, but she was on a trolley in a corridor in ED that they didn't even have a room for her to go into. So she was out in bright lights, loud noises, so it was very difficult for her to get any rest. And it was 24 hours before she was moved up to a ward.
Caroline O'Connell talking about her mother's experience in Wexford General Hospital's emergency department. And Caroline's mum has since been discharged and is doing well. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid, you're in our Sligo studio and you heard that there. That's indefensible, isn't it, that somebody of that age would have to go through that kind of experience?
Good morning, Anya. And yes, no, none of us would want experience for our loved ones what Caroline's mum, Angela, experienced there. If I can just briefly explain what we have seen happening in the first 4 months up to April of this year, and then just briefly describe where we are now and what we're doing. So what we have seen in the first 20 weeks of this year has been 12 of the highest weeks ever on record of emergency department presentations. We're up to about 30,000 per week in those weeks, particularly in those aged 75s. If you just take last week versus the equivalent week last year, post-lockdown, we're up about 35% presentations of older people and up about 20% on 2019.
Do you know why?
Yeah, well, some of the reasons, if you take the presentations, well, thankfully, many people are living longer and living longer at home, which is just demographics we're dealing with. But we are also seeing people delaying their care throughout the whole COVID period and, you know, returning to hospital now and in frail, with serious frailty issues, etc. But we have seen the experience that we have impacted, has impacted on our emergency departments has been throughout that whole period, we had very significant numbers of outbreaks in nursing homes. Up to about 60%, 70% of nursing homes had outbreaks of COVID. Now, thankfully, less impactful in terms of illness, but did impact on us having to be able to discharge people. And that in turn creates a whole flow congestion within the hospital system and ultimately it impacts on emergency departments. And obviously at that period, we were dealing with very significant staffing issues through COVID. What we have seen, Anya, very briefly over the last few weeks, in particular through May, thankfully, a lot of those issues improving. So nursing homes where we have more capacity and we are discharging more people. Only about 10 to 12% of nursing homes now have some levels of outbreaks. So we are discharging more people. Our delays, discharges are coming down. Less people now on trolleys. We're getting some of our surge emergency beds backed. But I do fully acknowledge the impact that it's had throughout that whole period. What we are primarily focused on, there are a number of reforms within our emergency department and a number of strategic reforms outside of our emergency department to reduce the presentations coming forward.
Yeah, because what a lot of people can't figure out as well is why, you know, 14 hours is the average. But do you know why, for instance, the wait is much longer on average in some hospitals? Cork University, almost 29 hours for somebody over 75. Mercy Hospital, almost 27 hours. University Hospital Limerick, more than 22 hours. I mean, that's just far too long, isn't it? Why is it so bad in some hospitals?
Yeah, there's no doubt the average can distort what's the experience in some hospitals and indeed, you know, improved experiences in others. We certainly know throughout the whole quarter that we've experienced significant congestion has emerged in some hospitals more than other. Sometimes that can be a function of some hospitals have greater capacity to discharge people for rehabilitation, particularly older people, to other smaller hospitals. Some of our other hospitals don't have that capacity and infrastructure. So there can be variances, but equally some hospitals have been more impacted through that period than others. What we are specifically focused on, Anya, is across all of the hospital systems is putting in place many reforms that we had put in place through COVID and strengthening those. So people are more and more, older people in particular, are receiving their treatment outside of the hospital system. So more now we have national coverage of what we call community intervention teams, multidisciplinary teams operating in the community, treating people, older, 30 older persons teams that we're resourcing, chronic disease management teams in the community to reduce what we know are more people living at home, thankfully, and living a longer age. So it is, and these things take time, but they're the right things that we're resourcing. And then within the emergency department itself, we are very focused, and particularly in those areas that you reference, some initiatives that we are putting in place around greater screening processes that people, emergency departments have with local community, with local GPs.
So are you working to bring down those wait times to, you know, in some of those hospitals where it's particularly bad, to closer to the average while you also try and improve the average?
Yes, it is. And we particularly, what we are focused on, and we're finalising these now, are particularly emergency department specific plans for each emergency department in each hospital all across the country.
And you have teams in those hospitals doing that now?
Yeah, each hospital are returning back to me and through our teams, back to myself for review, and indeed onward to the minister, of very specific and targeted emergency department initiatives within their own emergency departments. And we will then be prioritising. Some of it is recruitment, which we're really scaling up. We've recruited 14,700 people since January 2020. We are focused on recruiting more advanced nurse practitioners to relieve the pressure on medics and consultants. So it is about very specific targeted interventions. Some of the interventions, again, Anya, very briefly, are outside of the emergency department. So what we have in place, for example, now in some hospitals in Dublin, we roll it out, are issues like mobile diagnostics. People going into nursing homes with mobile scans, etc., and reducing the need for people to come from nursing homes into hospitals. Giving GPs access to diagnostics is a very new initiative. Last year, 140,000 visits to emergency departments avoided by GPs having direct access. And already this year, it's well over 80,000. So they are the initiatives that do
and
transform.
They all may be welcome. You did admit yourself, didn't you, at the committee yesterday, that you likely only recruit an extra 5,500 extra staff this year when your budget target is 10,000. So in order to deliver on all those initiatives, haven't you admitted yourself you're going to be below target on your staffing?
No, let's be clear about what we are saying. We do have funding for up to 10,000 resources this year. And firstly, we have recruited 14,500. Now, they are 14,700 actually, net increases. We have to recruit 9,500 staff every year just to stand still. So it's 5,500 on top of 9,500. Now, what we are saying, we are operating in a very competitive market. Every sector is, but particularly health sector, a very competitive market. We certainly have forecasted, and we are ahead of our forecast at the minute if we continue at the level we're at for over 5,500. But we are continuing and we have the funding, but we want to make the right calls during the year at the start of the year about what we think the likely outcome will be. It's mainly a function of what's happening in the market. We are recruiting internationally. We're recruiting internationally for nurses overseas, India and the Middle East, and many other countries are recruiting in. So, you know, we're very, and Philippines, we're very focused on strengthening our recruitment processes, but we are operating in a very difficult market.
Just on the monkeypox, one case confirmed now in Northern Ireland. The Taoiseach has said it's inevitable we've seen cases here, but it won't be a public health emergency like COVID. Just on, because we were hearing earlier how the smallpox vaccine can be effective against monkeypox, have we got supplies of smallpox vaccine?
Yeah, just on monkeypox, just to very briefly say, yes, more likely than not, we will see cases here on the island. We have cases in the north of the island. More likely than not, we'll see it in our own health service, for sure. Just say a couple of points on it. Firstly, to reassure the public, it doesn't spread easily between people. It's generally a skin-to-skin transmission. But nothing to say that it might not become possible it's airborne in the future. It is a mild self-limiting illness, and most people do recover in weeks. Specifically to your question around vaccines, we've secured an order of vaccines that we expect to deliver very shortly. We have put in place a whole set of incident management teams, communications out with our health services in terms of what to monitor. And we have monitoring agreements and international surveillance in place with Europe, and indeed direct contact mm-hmm. with the north of Ireland. So we do expect to secure those supplies shortly. We will
Sam
take McConkie our advice.
Would, Rhett was saying really we should be looking at vaccinating the health workers and the medical scientists who'd be involved in treating the infected and also close contacts.
Yeah, and what we will do in that case, Anya, is we'll take our advice from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, as we have done throughout all vaccination programmes, in terms of what people have been directly impacted by the virus and what people indirectly may be at risk. And we'll take that advice, and IAC are just considering that at the moment, and we will do it. Certainly there is evidence across Europe and indeed in the north to vaccinate healthcare workers who may have been in contact as well.
And just getting back to the Public Accounts Committee, Paul Reid, child mental health, and you were told at the committee it's being under-resourced. There were examples of treatments either delayed or denied. What's being done to address that?
Yeah, children and young mental health services are something we're keenly focused on. We now have resourced up. There now are a total of 73 teams across the country. Yes, we do have still, as I've said earlier on, some significant resourcing challenges across them. It's not specifically, there are many services for child and young mental health issues, and not just directly into a CAMHS unit themselves. Many young people get their treatment within the community. Primary care services, providers like Jigsaw providing great service in the community. But certainly we are under pressure in terms of the CAM service itself. We are focusing more recruitment. We are focusing the backlog. But just to reassure people who are in need of emergency care are getting emergency care in effective time. So, you know, we are very focused on it. We want to resource up further. We want to concentrate on the backlog that we have. And we're focused on our 73 teams across the country addressing those in most priority need.
HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us from our Sligo studio. It's 23 minutes past 8.